This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Quarter mile to go. Karina Mia confronted by stage play, and these two fillies come off the turn together. Karina Mia trying to dig down toward the rail. Stage play is full out, trying to get by with one furlong to do it. Karina Mia still in front, one length lead. Stage play fully extended, can't get by. Karina Mia turns back. Stage play. Karina Mia opening up through the stretch, and she's on to victory in the Goldenrod. Most impressive was she. Stage play second. Dream Dance third. Dothraki Queen fourth.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and hope everybody had a very happy Thanksgiving yesterday. I'm Bobby Newman along with Bob Nastanovich. We've got a dozen races from around North America we are going to talk about tonight, including four big stakes on one of those Stars of Tomorrow cards that Churchill announced tomorrow. Bob, happy to have you back, my friend.
Yeah, very good to hear you, Bobby. How you been?
Everything is good. Hope your holiday went well. Of course, the great racing never stops, even if you want to wager on Thanksgiving Day. And, of course, it trickles over into this weekend, and we've got some great races to talk about tonight. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus just for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win, a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in just minutes. Once again, go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, top of the show, we heard the stretch run of the 2015 edition of the Grade 2 Goldenrod, won by the nice filly Karina Mia. This year's Goldenrod, one of four stakes tomorrow at Churchill Downs, and we're going to talk about all four of them, starting with their ninth race on the Saturday card. This is the Ed Brown for the two-year-old sprinting 6.5 furlongs. We've got a field of nine gathering, and a very impressive second-time starter for Steve Asmussen named Booth, who was 7-5 on the morning line.
Yeah, no, the Ed Brown Stakes is a new stakes race at Churchill Downs, along with the race we're going to talk about in the next segment for the two-year-old fillies, also going 6.5 first, and that's the Fern Creek. I didn't know, shame on me, I didn't know what the Ed Brown Stakes was named after. Do you?
Well, my ridiculous answer would be Ed Brown, but no, I don't know who Ed Brown is.
Yeah, no, it's very, very interesting. The guys that own Necker Island, a very good horse that Chris Hartman trained, guys called Greg Harbutt and Ray Daniels, they started this Ed Brown partnership and Ed Brown Society, sort of based on the success of Necker Island. And Ed Brown was a 19th century horseman who was born into enslavement in Lexington, Kentucky, went on to become one of the most accomplished horsemen in the history of thoroughbred racing. And the Ed Brown Society, which partnered up with Churchill in Derby Week of 2021, they do really a lot to celebrate the rich history of African Americans in the equine industry. And they have an incredibly important mission to provide mentorship to the next generation of African Americans in the horse racing industry. And this is their stakes race. So I would have thought that Ed Brown would have been like sort of a guy that was an important factor behind the scenes at Churchill for many years, but indeed it's named after this really cool society that these owners have put forth. So a pretty cool cause and a pretty cool race. And as you mentioned in the intro, Booth, the son of Matoli, of course, was owned by the owners of this horse, Bill and Corina Heiligbrot, longtime owners from Texas. In fact, they dispersed their stock in 2011, couldn't stand it, and jumped back in the game. And Matoli, of course, has been their flagship horse for the last several years. Now he's completing a season as an excellent freshman stallion. And Booth could not have been more impressive in his over five length maiden win at Churchill. It was visually impressive. He's well bred. He's out of Sophia Song, who herself brought $1.3 million when she was a yearling. She was a listed stakes winner at Laurel during her career. And interestingly, this horse purchased as a yearling made his way to France this year, which when he was purchased by the Heilig Brats out of a sale at Deauville in France, the Arcana Breeze Up sales. And like I said, he was fantastic at Keeneland the other day. In this race, he faces some pretty accomplished horses. Just Steel beat Locked when he broke his maiden at Saratoga. 6.5 might be the right distance for this Lucas trainee. Normandy Hero for Rudy Brissett, who's having a great meet here. He's 5-for-19. Looked very good. A race I actually saw in person at Keeneland the other day when finishing second in the Bowman Mill. But look, breaking from the outside post here is Booth. It's a big step up in class, but he looked like the kind of horse that could definitely take this step at this point in his career. And I imagine he'll turn up at Oaklawn Park next year for a lot of the three-year-old races down there. I just think that at a short price, I think he's got the talent to pull this off. My pick is Booth.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to play him if he's lower than 7-5, but I think he's the one to beat, and he looks like he's been working well since that race. I love the outside post, especially for these lightly raced horses and two-year-olds. I thought number two, Agoo, was the other one to use if I'm going to not single Booth in my multi-race exotics. Agoo showed something that some of the other horses in here haven't shown, and that's the ability to actually run past horses in the stretch. He closed from fifth in his maiden win last time out at Keeneland, four lengths back to win going away. Speed figure wise, maybe not quite the same as what we saw from Booth, but not very far behind. And I think if there is some pace up front, Agoo could be a major player, but Booth is going to be my top pick as well. Bob and I both like the favorite Booth in the Ed Brown. 10th race at Churchill tomorrow is the Grade 2 Goldenrod for the two-year-old fillies. Going a two-turn mile in a 16th, we've got a field of eight, Bob. Most of the money going to come to the outside two runners, West Sunset and Torpedo Anna.
Yeah, no, the Goldenrod is a race that's been around for a long time. Interestingly, in the last 10 or so years, the horse that you played on the intro, Karina Mia, is the most outstanding winner. She went on to win the Acorn. Other than that, there's been a lot of the fillies that maybe the best win of their career was the Goldenrod. So it's been a little bit of a disappointing stakes race in the last decade, of course. You go back to 2008, it was won by the great Rachel Alexander. So it's a race that is capable of producing an outstanding two-year-old filly. But I think at this point, with all the good two-year-old racing that happens this month at Churchill, and of course the Breeders' Cup being in early November, it might take away from both this stakes race and the race that we'll discuss next, the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. Anyways, they're both $400,000 pots, which is massive. Torpedo Anna, who's kind of an anomaly. She's a fast Anna who apparently wants a route of ground. She's a pretty talented horse. She's blown away two horses unexposed, and she looked the last time in a race on November 10th here when she'd be allowance competition like she wanted more. So she could very well be effective around two turns. West Sunset, who won the Rags to Riches here in September, is proven around two turns, showed an affinity for the slop that day. I don't expect a wet track really at any of the tracks that we're covering today on the show. My pick actually is going to be Central Avenue. Central Avenue finished second in the Grade 1 for Zat behind Just FYI, who, of course, we saw very impressive in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and looks like a probable Eclipse Award winner. She has a lovely pedigree. Mike Stidham's been training her down at Fairgrounds. Javier Castellano takes the ride. My pick is going to be Central Avenue. She's out of a Grade 1 place mare who is by AP India mare called Centering. She looks like she definitely should relish the two turns, and I think that she'll pick him up and run by him here in the stretch. I think she just looks like a two-year-old with a big future in route races.
All right, Central Avenue for Bob. I can't get past the two favorites, West Sunset and Torpedo Anna. I leaned slightly to West Sunset because I think she might be in front of Torpedo Anna in the earlier stages. I also like the fact that Flavian Pratt is going to be out there and sticking with her instead of being out in the West Coast where he will be based for most of the winter time. West Sunset, unlike Central Avenue, don't know if she's bred to be better long than short. Being by West Coast out of a Vindication mare, yeah, West Coast was a router, Vindication was a router, but their progeny have been more sprinters, milers, I think, than routers. So we'll see. But West Sunset has already won a mile and a 16th, that being on a sloppy track. She's run well on a fast track as well, and I'm going to take her as the second choice on the morning line to win the Grade 2 Goldenrod. 11th race at Churchill tomorrow is the Grade 2 $400,000 Kentucky Jockey Club, two-year-olds, mile and a 16th, two turns, field of eight getting together here, Bob. Morning line favorite is number seven, Risk It, who's coming off a second-place finish in the Iroquois.
Yeah, no, he was very impressive that day. Favorite as well, ran to West Saratoga, who's a very good horse. This is a $500,000 son of Gunrunner. Like I said, the Kentucky Jockey Club hasn't had too many superior winners in the last 10 or so years. The last really good one was Super Saver in 2009, who of course went on to win the Kentucky Derby. There's a lot of horses that win this race that go into the next season, of course, with big classic hopes. They haven't really panned out. I've noted in the last 6 to 8 weeks that Dale Roman Stable is coming alive. And Martin Chuan, who's just an outstanding young rider to sort of focus on, has really come to life on this circuit. This is the connections of the number six horse, Stress Ride, who's owned by West Point Thoroughbreds. Look, he's undefeated, won at Churchill, and then kind of really, really beat a field that he overmatched at Keeneland on October 14th. Training really well. Dale's having a solid meet at Churchill Downs, and I think he's got a chance to pull a mild upset over Risk It. My pick here is Stretch Ride.
All right, 3-1 on the morning line. I'm going to try for a little bit of a bigger price with number two, Honor Marie, who is stretching out around two turns for the first time. But being by Honor Code out of a Smart Strike mare, I think he's bred to be better long than short. He looked very good coming from off the pace in his sprint debut at Churchill, then caught a sloppy track against winners last time out and still ran very well, albeit second best that day. Doesn't look to me like the extra distance will do anything but help his chances, and I think he's a horse who can continue to improve in just the third start of his career. Honor for me, a little bit of Honor Marie, rather, for me, an upsetter in the Kentucky Jockey Club Race 11 at Churchill Downs tomorrow. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we've got more Churchill to talk about, as well as some Del Mar and Aqueduct Stakes action. This is the Amway Your Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Churchill Downs 21-day fall meet runs now through November 26th with racing Wednesday through Sunday with daily first posts at 1 p.m. with 15 stakes, including the Grade 2 Clark on Friday, November 24th, and the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep season continuing October 29th with the Street Sense Stakes and November 25th with the Kentucky Jockey Club. Plus, the Stars of Tomorrow featuring all two-year-old races on October 29th and November 25th. All purses powered by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. For tickets and more information, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
While serving in Afghanistan, I was shot in the head by sniper fire. The fighting was so intense, the medevac chopper was barely able to land. I was given a 5% chance to live. I'm Adam Alexander, and I'm a veteran. Today, I visit classrooms and talk with kids about dealing with life's struggles. I tell them, with a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
I know that some struggles are big and some are small, but they're all struggles, and you have to learn to get through them. With support from DAV, more veterans like me can live their best life. And as a new father, I have one more reason to keep on keeping on. My victory is being there for the next generation.
Adam Alexander, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join me every Friday afternoon to dive deep into handicapping the races. We'll cover the live action from some of the biggest tracks in the country, talk to some of the major players in the game, and hopefully make a little money along the way. You can also call the show to share your opinions, ask a question or two, or maybe just vent about some bad beats. It's Betting with Bobby every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
It's horse against horse. Both of them driving. Seabiscuit leads by a length. Now Seabiscuit by a length and a half. Wolf has put away his whip. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit is the winner by four lengths. And you never saw such a wild crowd. Seabiscuit the winner by four lengths. Trying to drown this crowd out here. They're roaring around me. Seabiscuit was the winner from end to end by four lengths.
That was the famous Match Race and Seabiscuit getting the job done. It was actually the 1938 edition of the Pimlico Special, and Seabiscuit getting the upset win that afternoon, heading out east and getting the job done. And there's a race named in his honor tomorrow out at Del Mar. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Before we get out to Del Mar and the Seabiscuit, we've got other work to do, including finishing out the stakes action at Churchill Downs, Bob. 12th race on the Churchill Downs card tomorrow is the aforementioned Fern Creek. You mentioned this at the top of the show. Two-year-old fillies here sprinting 6.5 furlongs on the main track. A full field of 12 gathering for the Fern Creek. And number one, you almost had me, is 8-5 on the morning line after a monstrous win in the Myrtlewood at Keeneland last time out.
Fantastic race, this. Lovely to have a full field. I'm sure that'll entice a lot of betting to close this Churchill card. A lot of nice fillies in here. Halina's Forte, who's another Matoli here, Matoli filly out of a Yes It's True mare. Very, very quick horse. Definitely gets tested for class. Really purely sprint bred. If anything, 6.5 furlongs might be too far, you know, being out of the Yes It's True mare. Looks like a quick horse and a horse to follow. The 12 horse, probably not an ideal post. I know we like the 9 and the other 6.5 furlong race for boys. 12 is pretty far out there. This is an Irish Maxima. She's a very talented Maximus Mischief filly, who's another first crop stallion for John Service, of course, of Smarty Jones fame, who's back at Churchill Downs with another very talented horse. Obviously, she's a filly that this will be her fourth track and her fourth race, so she ships very well. You have to excuse her poor effort in the Frisette. It was a one-turn mile on a sloppy track. Maybe she didn't like the slop. Luis Saez, interestingly here, who's ridden the three-horse Saratoga Secret for Wayne Lucas, abandons that filly to ride Irish Maxima. So you have to figure she's well-intended. But look, you almost had me. It's just really kind of one of my favorite kinds of horses here. She's what I call an it-can-be-done horse. She costs $12,000. She's by Oxbow out of a good and tough mare, not what you call a stylish pedigree. But the bottom line is that she's ridiculously talented and has been so since the start of her career. She was purchased for $12,000 by Danny and Donna Brown. Little did they know that they were going to cruise in a Keeneland maiden race in April, then blow apart the Kentucky Juvenile at Derby Week at Churchill going 5/8. You got to give her an excuse in the first race she lost, the Ellis Park debutante. She stumbled at the start. Then she ran into a really good horse in the Pocahontas, V.V. Stram, and she's back to herself at Keeneland, really blowing apart the Myrtlewood. She just looks like a really good sprinter. 6.5, I think, are probably her ideal distance. It's hard for me to get past. You almost had me, the favorite. She's already proven from the one hole. And just a really, really talented filly, and I think this is go day for her.
Yeah, I don't have anything negative to say that you almost had me, but I'm going to try to beat her with one of the ones you mentioned, the four, Halina's Forte, maybe just because I think there's a better chance that Helenas Forte has some more in the tank than You Almost Had Me does. Hell, You Almost Had Me has already raced five times, and we've seen three blowout wins in those five races. I understand she's just a two-year-old, and there's no reason she can't continue to improve, but the fact Helenas Forte has only raced once, I think there's a lot more reason to think that she's got more in the tank. She looked really good winning first time out for Phil Bauer. He doesn't win with a whole lot of first-time starters, but this one was bet down to just under even money. So it was no secret that Helenas Forte was supposed to have ability, and she broke on top, was challenged most of the way around, and then put away the competition past the quarter pole and down the lane. I don't see any reason she can't be better. Second start in her career. Going to be interesting to see with both of these fillies how they handle other speed, because there are three or four other fillies in this race who all look like they want to be forwardly placed. I don't know that You Almost Had Me and Helenas Forte have to have the lead to run well, but they certainly look like they want to be close up. We'll see what happens with some of these other fillies applying pressure, or maybe even being a little bit faster in the early going. Bob likes the favorite You Almost Had Me. I'm going to go with the second choice, Helenas Forte, in the Fern Creek Race 12 tomorrow at Churchill Downs. We're going to jump up to Aqueduct. Their Saturday feature is the Grade 3 Cumley for the three-year-old fillies going a mile and an eighth on the main track. We've got a field of eight going to post in this race, Bob. Pretty evenly matched field of eight. Slight favorite on the morning line is number eight, Raging Sea, who's coming off a big allowance win at Keeneland, her most recent start.
Yeah, no, tough race. And really wide open. You can kind of make a case for everybody in here. It's, you know, kind of what I call a handicapping contest race. One of the most well-bred horses in training is in this race, and she's kind of turned out to be a disappointment after what she showed early in her career. That's the two, Julia Shining, a curl and filly out of Dreaming of Julia. Doesn't get much better than that. And she was awesome, breaking her maiden as a two-year-old at Keeneland. She parlayed that into a very nice victory in the Grade 2 at Aqueduct December 3rd, and she looked like she would just go on to be one of the top three or five three-year-old fillies in the country, highly tried. She ran okay at Tampa, grade one place in the Ashland, and then kind of fell apart. You got to put a line through her race in the Alabama, going a mile and a quarter behind Random Eyes and one of the horses she'll face. And here are the horse that came in third, Defining Purpose, who won the Ashland this year. And then she ran an okay race. I know you picked Phil Bauer's filly in the last race. His best two-year-old filly, three-year-old filly, is Zygira. And she was wonderful winning the Mother Goose last out. And Julia Shining didn't run much at all. She finished fourth in that race. Raging Sea is an interesting horse. That Chad Brown trains. Interestingly, she's been lightly raced this season. And definitely looks like a filly that's on the improve at the end of her three-year-old season. Jose Jimenez has just Catherine in here at Justify Filly. He's very talented. But look, I land on Defining Purpose here. She looks like the class of the race. She takes her racing very well. Admirable daughter of Cross Traffic and Ken McPeak ships two up there. And I think this is the one that he likes the best. Our friend Papo Morales at AmWager picked this horse, and I'm going with Papo here. I like Defining Purpose.
Yeah, Defining Purpose, not only Bob's choice, but the choice of Form to Win, according to our friends over at AmWager. I think Defining Purpose is certainly one of the two in the race. I think the other one is one you mentioned, Julia Shining. Listen, Julia Shining has not been able to solve Defining Purpose the last three times that she's run. Maybe I'm just ridiculously stubborn for picking her on top. It seems like I always think she's better than Defining Purpose, and she's never been better than Defining Purpose. I'm trying again. I don't have a really good reason for this other than it's more of a defensive play. I'd hate, and by the way, defensive play, he was a real good horse 30 years ago.
Yeah, he was.
Whatever it was. It's one of those things, Bob, where I'm worried that once I get off Julia Shining is when she scores and pays $10 or $12. So I'm picking her on top. I don't think she's any better than Defining Purpose. Trust me when I say if I am playing horizontally, I am using both of those fillies and going to try to beat the morning line favorite Raging Sea, because I just don't think Raging Sea is as good as Julia Shining or Defining Purpose, at least not yet. So I'm going to pick those two foes once again and use them both, but Julia Shining slightly my top selection. Let's head way out west. The featured event at Del Mar tomorrow is the Grade 2 Seabiscuit. This is a race that used to be run at Hollywood Park. When it was at Hollywood Park, it was called the Citation, and it was renamed the Seabiscuit when Hollywood Park went away. So the good news is Del Mar continued the running of this race. They just changed the name from one legendary horse to another. The Seabiscuit, yeah. A Grade 2 event for three-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th on the turf. We've got a field of eight going to post. Our friends over at Amwager using form to win, Bob. Think number seven, Astronomer, is the one to beat. Astronomer is certainly going to be a pace play in this race. I disagreed with them. I thought Phil D'Amato's two runners, Hong Kong Harry and Easter, were the ones to decide it. What did you think?
I went with the other Phil D'Amato. He's got three in here. Yeah, obviously you got to respect form to win selection here, but Sumter on the Rail is a talented horse with a ton of speed. It looks like the pace is going to be pretty lively in here. There's some tactical speed. There's two horses that appear to want the front that have a lot of talent, and I expect a pretty hot pace. Hong Kong Harry's a very talented horse. He looked pretty great September 30th at Santa Anita, winning the Grade 2 City of Hope. Beat Astronomer that day. Leading rider Juan Hernandez stays aboard him. Easter is a talented horse. He ran a little restricted race for Graham Motion October 28th, stayed in California with D'Amato, as you mentioned. Horse I love in here, who's going to be a big price, 8-1 in the morning line. My first kind of real value play of the show is Balnikov. I mean, Balnikov has been right. He won the Bryan Station last year. He got beat a length in the quarter of the Del Mar Derby. He won the Oceanside in 2022. He ran September 30th in the Eddie D, 6.5 on the downhill course. That's not sufficient distance for him. Didn't run a horrible race, but that's not his ballgame. He's a miler, and a mile and a 16th, I think, is a kind of an ideal distance for him that he's only tried once. Ran great this year in July in the Eddie Reed. The bottom line is he's run four times at Del Mar, and it looks like it's his favorite turf course. And he, if the pace is hot, he'll be flying at the end. And if Hector Berrios can negotiate a trip, I think he'll fly home and could win at a handsome price. My pick is the three, Balnikov.
Okay, by the way, should mention that Hong Kong Harry is also the defending champion in the Seabiscuit, and he's never been worse than second in three career tries on the Del Mar turf. I went to the other D'Amato, if you will, and that is number two, Easter. I think Easter is the best horse in the race, as good, if not better, than Hong Kong Harry, and he's an up-and-comer. He shows a lot of allowance lines and not as many stakes lines, and that's probably why he's not going to be favored in this spot. And there is one big negative for Easter. I don't have anything negative to say about jockey Antonio Frazu, but let's face it, at this point in his career, he is not Frankie Dettori, who rode Easter to victory last time out. He's not Flavian Pratt, and he's not Tyler Gaffalione. Those are the last three jockeys who have had the privilege of riding Easter. Antonio Frazu is doing very well out in California. He's winning at a high percentage and riding as well as just about anybody out there, with the exception of Juan Hernandez. So while I don't think it's a negative that he's riding Easter, I'm just saying he at this point is not what those other guys are. But I think Easter has the best closing kick. I think that he's an up-and-comer, and I think he's not going to be favored. I like him a lot in the Seabiscuit. He's 3-1 on the morning line. He's going to be my pick, race 7, tomorrow at Del Mar. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to jump north of the border for a couple of stakes, the Coronation Futurity and the Princess Elizabeth. Also, for the first time in the 2023-2024 season, look at a fairground stake race. This is the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
There are plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park with live thoroughbred action Friday through Sunday and simulcasting 7 days a week. Join us on track for weekend stakes races and make plans for opening day of the championship meet on Friday, December 1st. Dine trackside in 10 ponds with an elevated view of the track and grab a cool cocktail in the Carousel Club. For reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
The thrill of world-class racing now at Toronto's Woodbine Racetrack. Kick off the weekend's action now with racing each Friday, Saturday, and Sunday beginning at 1:05 p.m. Eastern. With more than $64 million in purses this season, you'll enjoy world-class racing and training facilities with the top turf racing in North America over the prestigious E.P. Taylor Turf Course. You won't want to miss racing at Woodbine. For wagering updates, handicapping tips, racing news, and more, visit Woodbine.com.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
They race to the top of the stretch with a quarter to go at Pimlico. And a narrow lead there for Spicy Marg is trying to hold on. About three parts of a length. Train to Artemis coming off the inside now. Her World of Fire outside, and Can the Queen is next. And Spun Glass trying to offer a bit of late kick. A Whiskey and Rye drifts to the far outside. Train to Artemis takes over. Train to Artemis bounding home now under Paco Lopez in the very one. Train to Artemis. Second was Spicy Marg and Spun Glass with a good late kick. And then Thundering Creed.
That was Dave Rodman earlier this year. The Very One Stakes, won by Train to Artemis, who will run tomorrow at Fairgrounds in the Panzeretta. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Before we get back to the stakes action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Woodbine announces King's Plate date and reports handle. Speaking during a quote-unquote Stronger Together meeting November 22nd with horsemen and other members of the racing community, Woodbine executives provided updates related to ongoing 2023 business and the Canadian Track's plans for future racing seasons. Among the announcements was the scheduling of the King's Plate next year, which will move from a Sunday to take place on August 17th, a Saturday. The historic million-dollar race is the first leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. Track officials also said they intend to use tarps on its inner turf course next year, which may allow it to be used earlier in the season. A longer-range improvement to the outer E.P. Taylor turf course is also planned. As far as the King's Plate goes, this year's race was the first under the King's Plate name in more than 70 years after the passing of Queen Elizabeth II in September of 2022. Since its inception in 1860, the race has been named after the reigning British monarch. An invitation to His Majesty King Charles III to attend has been extended to Buckingham Palace. Woodbine announced the King's Plate is North America's longest continuously run stake race. It is open to Canadian-bred three-year-olds in a mile and a quarter on Woodbine's synthetic main track. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. If you're looking for racing information, BloodHorse.com has it. From racing-related news to race results and replays to racing leaders, including horses, trainers, jockeys, owners, and breeders, and much more, it's BloodHorse.com, your source for racing information. All right, two things there, Bob. First of all, I know that you are heavily involved in all things Europe, and I'm guessing that you have King Charles III's cell phone number. Is there any way you can text him and find out ahead of time if he's planning to attend the King's Plate in 2024?
Do that, Bob. I'm sorry. He's a busy man with his regal duties, so I can't get my head around that. But tomorrow, I guess, is the or Saturday's the I'm sorry, it is tomorrow, the official start of the King's Plate prep season, isn't it?
It certainly is. And one more thing, which this I've wondered this for a long, long time, and this is the first I've heard of it. So in that story, it said that Woodbine intends to use tarps on its inner turf course, which would assumingly keep some of the bad weather elements off of it and enable them to use the turf course earlier in the season. Typically when they open up their meet at Woodbine, the weather is still not phenomenal and they don't use the turf course right away. So it's interesting that they're doing this, and it makes me wonder, well, if places are capable of putting tarps on turf courses, assuming it doesn't take, you know, a half a day to take these tarps off, why wouldn't this happen everywhere that there's a turf course, and then literally you never, ever have to take races off the turf?
Well, I mean, back to UK racing, obviously over there right now is we're getting into steeplechase season and hurdles racing season, both Ireland and England. And over the next several months, there'll be a lot of race meetings that are under threat of abandonment because of frost. And over there, they call the tarps frost covers, and it's rather routine on these expansive jumps courses in the UK to use tarps or frost covers. And a lot of meets survive inspection because they're able to race in 30-degree Fahrenheit weather. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a good idea for Woodbine, which, of course, has a really good Tapeta course. And a turf course, to do everything they can to get racing on the turf, because obviously the turf races there fill very well. And we'll see how it works out. And it'll be sort of important going forward to see if some of the, you know, northernmost tracks, you know, use their turf courses in a similar fashion. That being said, you know, I can't begin to think that, like, you know, for example, that Aqueduct would ever use, you know, anything but the main track in the wintertime. So there, you know, there aren't really that many major race meetings that run in this country over the winter and the early spring.
All right. Well, as you mentioned, the start of the Canadian Triple Crown season, if you will, begins tomorrow at Woodbine with the Coronation Futurity. These are two-year-old Canadian foals going for $250,000, a mile and an eighth on the synthetic main track. We've got a field of 10 going to post. And the morning line favorite is number 7, Piper's Factor, for Katerina Vasileva and top jock Kaz Kimura, coming off a nice second-place finish in the gray last time out.
Yeah, kind of interesting in the Coronation Futurity that the colts go 9 furlongs, mile and an eighth, and the fillies and the Princess Elizabeth are only asked to go a mile and a 16th. Mile and an eighth is a long way for a two-year-old, and there's two horses in here that I'm going to focus on. I guess the theme would be in Kazushi Kimura We Trust. No More Options, really admirable horse. He's a two-year-old colt by Frack Daddy. He cost $5,000 as a weanling at Keeneland in 2021. Frack Daddy stands for a couple thousand, and he's done really well. He's won a couple of races and 4 starts, picked up $85,000, so he's more than paid for himself, and was really impressive on the turf October 8th when he blew apart a maiden optional claiming field. Went on to the Frost King for Ontario breds, and spurted clear, really showed a nice turn of foot going 6.5 on the Tapeta that day. And he looks like, you know, a pretty serious proposition from the inside post for Mary and Jesse Self, his owners. Interestingly, Orlando Mojica takes over for Kazushi Kimura, who's ridden this horse in his last 3 very good starts. Kimura, as you mentioned on the intro, ends up on Piper's Factor, who looks like a horse that wants a mile and eighth, even as a two-year-old. It was second in the grade three gray here, has very good tactical speed. And I think that's really going to benefit him tomorrow. I think he's the best horse in this race right now. And I think the fact that Mr. Kimura, the leading rider, ends up there for a 27% trainer, Katerina Vasilyeva, just looks like a tough horse at a short price in the Coronation Futurity.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. I picked Piper's Factor as well. Our friends at Amwager are using form to win. I think the best value in the race is number 8, Babo, who is 6-1 on the morning line. Not necessarily their top selection in the race, but the best value at odds of 6-1. Moving forward to the 9th race on the card, the Princess Elizabeth. Bob, you mentioned this one for the fillies. How did you see it?
Yeah, no, the couple of horses I like in here sounds practical. It's a practical joke filly. Of a really stoutly bred Tis Now mare, runs for, you know, connections that do very well here that don't make the headlines. John Mateen and jockey Ryan Munger has a chance. Olivia Rose, owned and bred by Gabe Grossberg, who was a longtime force in Chicago racing when his horses were with Frank Springer. Now he's got Mark Cassie training his horses. Horse should be favored. Kimura takes the mount. Has excellent speed. I'm going to go for a little bit of a upset. I like the 9 here. Inundation, Alan Bill Allwilling, who applied their trade as owners in both Chicago and Minnesota for a long time. They've got Kevin Attard training this horse, a son of Collected out of a Bernardini mare. Horse is a maiden, but I think that the she's really going to love the distance here, and she's been knocking on the door. I think she can break through here at a nice price. She's 10-1 in the morning line. She gets Lasix for the first time, and I think that she'll enjoy her second try at this trip, and I think she can pull an upset.
Yeah, strangely enough, you and I ended up on the same filly in here, and I don't know if it's for the same reasons, but I saw a lot of pace in this race, so I was trying to find somebody who I think can pass other runners, and even though Inundation is a maiden facing winners for the first time, I think she may be the best from off the pace, and I don't see any reason that she can't continue to improve. And just the 4th start of her career, she is getting Lasix for the first time. So Bob and I both taking a shot with Inundation, 10-1 on the morning line in the Princess Elizabeth race, 9 tomorrow at Woodbine. By the way, our friends at Amwager using form to win say the best value play in this race is number 3, War Painter, 6-1 on the morning line, coming off just a mediocre performance last time out in the Cup and Saucer, but that race was on the turf, getting back onto the synthetic main track, and War Painter, the best value play according to form to win. Let's head back stateside and down to the fairgrounds, Bob. The Panzeretta is a sprint stake for fillies and mares at the about distance of 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Big field of 11 gathering for the Panzeretta. And morning line favorite here is number 2, Train to Artemis. It's been a while since Train to Artemis has won, but she certainly has been facing tough company of late.
Yeah, no, it certainly has and definitely fits. I'm going to focus on the three fillies and mares on the outside here. First of all, tip of the cap to the remarkably consistent 5-year-old mare, Going Good. Just always shows up for the Klein family, who raced her mare, or her Damn Good Deed, who was kind of a similar type horse. She doesn't miss too many dances and always fires. Jimmy Graham, who's been leading rider here at Fairgrounds, takes the mount for Brad Cox. Doesn't ride for Cox often, so it'll be interesting to see how they do. They definitely fit. Kind of horse you'd love to own. She's won nearly $500,000 from her 21 starts. I like the 9 horse in here. Michelle Lovell's more than ready 3-year-old filly out of Wild Event mare. Lovely pedigree for sprinting on the grass. And really looked outstanding November 3rd at Churchill in one of those no conditions, $141,000 allowance races that basically amount to stakes races. I'm going to take a huge price in here, though. I'm going to take Granado. Interesting rider to follow if you're following the Fairgrounds this season. Ben Curtis, who's been an outstanding rider in Yorkshire and England for years. He won his 1,000th race in the UK, which is quite an accomplishment. He's decided to come over and ride at the Fairgrounds this season. He's off to an outstanding start. I think he's going to turn a lot of heads down there in Louisiana this year. He's 3-12. So he's already getting some action and interest from good trainers. I like Renato in here. She's a Nyquist filly out of a discreet cat mare. And she's won comfortably in two races at the Shoe Indiana Downs. And I think for Whitworth Beckman, if she can step up, it's going to be an interesting horse at a huge price, 20-1 in the morning line. I think, you know, the fact you get an undefeated, well-bred filly, it's time to take a shot. And I landed on Granado.
All right, big price, Granado 20-1 on the morning line. I went a little bit to the other end of the spectrum. I thought number 5, Karimba, who's the second choice on the morning line at 7-2, is just going to get out in front of this field and keep going. I was looking. There's some other speed in the race, but I don't think they're quite as fast early on as Karimba. And if she outfoots this field early, she can just take them all the way. I think that's what's going to happen in the Panzeretta at Fairgrounds tomorrow. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got one more Saturday stake to look at, then a couple on Sunday afternoon. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Get ready for nonstop excitement at Laurel Park. Immerse yourself in heart-pounding live racing. Indulge in mouth-watering culinary delights and soak in the thrill of our electrifying events. Whether you're a diehard racing fan or just out for a day of fun with loved ones, Laurel Park promises an unforgettable experience, no matter the season. Don't let the excitement pass you by. Head to laurelpark.com now for all the thrilling details. That's laurelpark.com.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Ray's a Native. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Turning for home, it's Native Diver in front on the inside by a half length. Viking Spirit is second by 4 lengths. Granado third by a neck. Mangate fourth. Duo is fifth. And Hill Rise is closing ground on the rail. Into the stretch, it's Native Diver on the inside and Viking Spirit head and head. Viking Spirit on the outside and Native Diver head and head, nose and nose. Granado is third and Mangate is a two-horse race. Native Diver on the inside and Viking Spirit nose and nose, head and head. And Native Diver is the winner by a head. Viking Spirit second by 6 lengths with Granado finishing third.
Sure, that was the voice of Harry Henson on the mic back in 1965, the Grade 3 Los Angeles Handicap, won by the great Cal-bred Native Diver, and a race named in his honor Sunday out at Del Mar. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich, folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus just for HRRN listeners. Here's how. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then when you deposit $150 and bet $150, you'll get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, we've got one more Saturday stake we're going to look at, and it's one of several stakes tomorrow at Laurel. This is the Richard W. Small Stakes. Three-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth on the main track. Purse here of $100,000. We've got a field of eight coming together, and two of them really going to take a bulk of the action. And they ran once again. They ran against each other last time out on October 17th at Parks. Those are the two, Be Better and six, King Kumbale.
Yeah, no, really cool that Laurel recognizes trainer Richard Small. Just had a fantastic career. Obviously trained Broad Brush, legendary horse, and Concern, won the Breeders' Cup Classic. And for Robert Meyerhoff, just a stalwart owner breeder on that, really in the East Coast for years. Really cool to remember him with this stakes race in a really competitive field. Be Better, who goes for team Russell Brittany, the trainer, and her husband Sheldon, the jockey. Repley Stables owns this one. Horse goes very well at Laurel. Uncle Mo Cole. It's going to be a short price in here. King Kumbale, if the track comes up wet, I think you got to move him up a notch. But the horse I landed on is Market Maven. Unfortunate last time when he was DQ'd after setting the pace of a race in which a horse that opposes him again here, Ain't to Beer Cold, was a huge price that day, was deservedly promoted to first. Market Maven could not maintain a straight course for Jaime Rodriguez and Jamie Ness that day. They were 32% tandem, those two, when they get together. And I think it's a golden opportunity for Market Maven to make amends in the Maryland Millions Classic. Was DQ'd out of the Maryland Millions Classic, but he showed a lot that day. And I think if he puts it all together, he can win the Richard Small.
All right, I thought the morning line favorites were the ones to beat in here. And normally I would be picking Be Better just because he has Laurel experience and King Kumbale does not. But King Kumbale, I think, is just a little bit better than Be Better. So I'm going to pick him on top at 9-5. I don't like the fact that he's been racing for the most part at Parks and nowhere else. And I just don't think that the racing there is phenomenal. But it seems like the horses who run well at Parks run well at Laurel and vice versa. So I'm going to take King Kumbale, who's the second choice on the morning line, to get the job done in the Richard Small race 8 tomorrow out at Laurel. Sunday action kicks off at Churchill Downs. We're going to look at the Grade 3 Commonwealth Turf, which we're hoping is actually on the turf. Three-year-olds going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Don't know what the weather is supposed to be in Churchill on Sunday, Bob, and it doesn't really even matter because the weather doesn't seem to have anything to do with whether they run on the turf. They have perfectly decent weather today, and they took the Mrs. Revere off the turf. So we can only guess that the Commonwealth Turf will actually be run on the turf, and if so, number one Northern Invader will be a major player.
Frustrating that. I didn't know that about the Mrs. Revere, and I do know that it's crisp, clear, and cold in Louisville all weekend, according to the forecast. So, like you said, we'll hope that this race is on the turf because it's a solid field. I mean, Northern Invader ships in from New York for Sherry DeVos, had a frustrating meet. Jose Ortiz comes with her. They won the Gio Ponti by a length at Aqueduct on October 6th. Definitely a horse to be reckoned with. A horse that's definitely on the rise here, must pass a class test here, finish like a freight train, is the seven Irish Aces, two for two in turf routes. Looked really awesome, winning at Keeneland the other day for Brendan Walsh, Tyler Gaffleone. The horse has good work since the win. Really interesting contender in here is the six Ohana Honor for Shug, who's two for three. This meets Shug McGahee trainee. Really nice horse. Gigante's in here, a lot of class, won the Secretary of Colonial Downs. But my pick is the five, Runaway Storm. Really interesting horse. He's by Midnight Storm out of a runaway in Hyde mare called Runaway Betty. Robert Hunt, homebred. Probably the best horse that Colby Hernandez rides for young trainer Ethan West. Really impressive route horse with really good speed on the grass. And ran a bang-up race, winning by a head in the Grade 3 Bryan Station last time at Keeneland. This is the logical next step. I think that the fact that his connections aren't too fashionable would lead you to believe that you'll get a decent price on this horse at 7-2 on the morning line. I expect more like 4-1, 9-2, and I think that's great value on a very consistent and tough gelding. I like the 5 Runaway Storm.
Okay, I went to the favorite Northern Invader. I just like what I've seen from him in his 3 turf starts thus far. Even if the race gets taken off the turf, he's run decently on the dirt, but I think he's a better turf horse. I like the inside post. I tried Northern Invader as the favorite in the Commonwealth turf. Final race we look at is Sunday's Del Mar, featured the Grade 3 Native Diver for the 3-year-olds and up, going 1 1/8 on the main track. Talented field of 7 coming together, and Skinner probably will be one of the favorites.
Yeah, no, Skinner's kind of an interesting horse. He shows up in a lot of these stakes races. He's eligible for all of his allowance conditions. He's 1 for 9 lifetime, so he wins money, but he doesn't win very often. So this is kind of a tough race. I mean, you know, Visitant is a horse that definitely prefers synthetics. Newgrange, once trained by Bob Baffert, now trained by Phil D'Amato. He's 5 for 10 lifetime, but really overall, a horse has got an amazing record like that that's won a lot of money. Early on, expectations were really high, and lately he's been, you know, a source of frustration. And, I land on Mr. Fisk here, who just looks like he's the improving horse for Bob Baffert. He was very good when he blew apart the September 3rd race, the Shared Belief, the famous horse owned by Jim Rome. He was undefeated until he lost in the Breeders' Cup Classic to the Baffert-trained Bayern, very controversial race. I just think this Mr. Fisk, he's the son of Arrogate. He ought to love the distance, and I think he's just improving at the right time, and this looks like the ideal spot for him.
Okay, I pick Skinner. I just think he's been facing better competition than what he's going to see on Sunday. 3 of his last 4 starts were against Grade 1 competition, and he wasn't disgraced in any of those races. This certainly does not look like a Grade 1 field. That's why it's a Grade 3, the Native Diver. Skinner, yeah, for me to win the Sunday feature at Del Mar. That's 12 races. Time now for the AmWager Best Bets.
The AmWager Best Bets.
All right, Bob, where are you headed?
Yeah, I'm going to head to the Grade 3 Commonwealth Turf and certainly hope that it's on the turf course at Churchill. That's a cause for alarm that it may not be, but I love Runaway Storm. Low-profile gelding. And I love a horse that, is the best horse in the barn, Ethan West barn. I think the horse is very well men, has a big shot. So my best bet is Runaway Storm in the Grade 3 Commonwealth Turf, the 11th race at Churchill on Sunday.
All right. Interesting that both of us are choosing second choices on the morning line in different races as our best bets. Bob going in the Commonwealth Turf. I'm going to Saturday's Del Mar feature, the Grade 2 Seabiscuit. I think one of the other Phil D'Amato trainees, Easter, is going to get the job done. I think he's every bit as good, if not better, than Hong Kong Harry. I like his closing pick getter. I love the price. He's going to be a better price than Hong Kong Harry. And if I think it's just those two, and I have a 50% chance of winning, and I like the bigger price, he's going to be my best bet. Easter to win the Grade 2 Seabiscuit on Saturday out at Del Mar. Want to remind everybody, another bang-up edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning here on the network. Our good friend Mike Penn of the Baron of the Backstretch talks to Kevin Kirstein, who previews the closing weekend action at Churchill Downs. He also looks forward to the Gulfstream Championship meet with Brian Nadeau. Turfway's new announcer, Tony Kahlo, talks about his new gig. James Scully provides this week's triple play. Plus, Kurt Becker takes you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin tackle the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. And Mike recognizes the 2023 White Horse Award winner, David Pope, as this week's unsung hero, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, all part of another huge edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning and every Saturday morning here on HRRN, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or streaming live on our website, horseracingradio.net. Bob, it has been a long, strange trip for you since we last got together here on the network. Looking forward to the weeks to come, speaking with you not only here on the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview, but on our First Bet Racing shows on Thursday. By the way, how was your Breeders' Cup, my friend?
Really great. Great seats. I actually had three or four winners. Thoroughly enjoyed being there. Beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful place to watch the racing. And I guess the Breeders' Cup is now a California thing. But I think we saw a lot of outstanding racing. And thank goodness I got it right a couple of times and didn't hurt myself too badly. But, yeah, no, the long, strange trip is winding down for me. So, you know, certainly looking forward to being here with you and over the next several weeks. And, you know, fantastic stuff and good on you. You know, hopefully we'll do well this week on with the stakes preview.
Well, I hope you made some money, my friend. As you and a lot of our listeners know, picking a lot of winners does not necessarily translate into winning a lot of money. And that's what happened for me in the Breeders' Cup. It seemed like I picked several winners, but I zigged when I should have zagged, and whatever I really liked didn't come in. And all I can say is, as far as the Breeders' Cup goes, I'm more looking forward to next year and not what just happened a few weeks ago. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and have a fantastic weekend at the track, everybody. Good night.